So one source of inefficiency is when the government owns properties that we don't need. And so we're planning in the near future to issue a policy that really focuses agency efforts to look closely at their real estate footprint, find opportunities to get rid of real estate that they no longer need, maybe pushing it to the market in a sales transaction, or maybe consolidating it with another agency's real property in a way that overall gets us to a more efficient point. Fortunately, we have a pretty robust inventory that was put in place over the last 5 years. But that puts us at a point in time where it's now important to manage against that inventory. Now it's time to clean it up.
Now let's move on to another topic. What is a TechStat session? What happens in them and who participates?
TechStat session is where you are focusing on a IT project, typically one that is having some indicators of problem or concern. You bring the group in, and you bring a cross-functional group in. You're not just talking to the CIO, but you're talking to the CIO, the program managers, the business leaders that are relying on this technology. So you get all the right people in the room. And at this session, it's a very focused hour and a half, depending on how long it goes, set of questions that the agency answers about the nature of the problems with the project and exactly what they're going to do to fix it and address it.
One of those issues, one of the types of systems that has come up over the years is financial systems. And of course, there's been a big drive to consolidate financial management. So does that mean that we have seen the end finally of the era in which an agency embarks on a multi-$100 million financial package procurement that might last several years and go off the rails, as we've seen so many of them do? Are those days over now?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would like to see the end of days on in terms of financial systems. First of all, I think my major emphasis on financial systems is making sure that we're only buying what we need. And what I mean by that is when we get together to build our requirements for our financial systems, we have had a tendency over the past several years to impulse buy on these requirements and get into the nice-to-haves. That wouldn't it be nice if our system did X, Y, and Z versus what are the very limited, most critical requirements that we need our system to do? Because once we go beyond our absolute business needs into the nice-to-haves, it creates a larger and more complex financial system deployment in terms of the leveraging of shared service providers. That is still a main emphasis. The one distinction I'll make and a new area that we're heading into that I'm very excited about is we're starting to look at whether we can move functions to shared service environments versus the whole footprint, if moving that whole footprint is too high risk and too high cost.
So take it a step at a time.
And a good example, and it came up in one of the sessions here at ERMCO, is moving to a common invoicing solution for the government. So right now, every agency has their own solution, whether technology or process-based, for how they do invoicing, how they pay vendors, for example. Well, what we're exploring right now is whether Treasury, the Department of Treasury, can deploy a government-wide invoicing solution and cross-service the entire government. So from now on, if you have to process an invoice as part of your financial operations, you'll no longer do it in your own home. Treasury Department will do it for you. And by doing that, we're going to move to a higher technology solution. It's a cloud-based solution, and it gets rid of a lot of the manual processing. So it's win-win. You get it off of your plate, and when you move it over to Treasury's plate, it's moved into a more automated high-tech environment, and government costs will go down.
We're talking with Danny Werfel. He's the federal controller. And I know another issue that's been on your mind for many years is improper payments. And that's another thing that we'd like to see the end of days on. Relative to, say, 5 years ago, what is the progress and what do you hope to do in the next couple of years about improper payments?
Well, I think one of the unfortunate points is that in fiscal year 2009, we hit an unwelcome milestone, which is $100 billion approximately in improper payments annually. And that's not all bad news. I mean, part of the story here is that we've done a better job identifying improper payments, measuring them. Our audit techniques have become more sophisticated, so we're finding more errors, which is a positive development. But really, It's an unacceptably high amount of error that we see in our programs. And similar to my point earlier about real property, where we have the inventory, now it's time to act on it and make sure we're really driving results for the American people. Same with improper payments. We know where the errors are, and it's time to make sure that we're deploying solutions to fix them. Technology is going to play a big piece here. A lot of these errors, we believe, can be addressed by sharing data.
But technology is a big piece of it, but still the burning desire on the part of agency management, isn't that really the key ingredient that you need?
You need a lot of ingredients. This is a challenging problem. It's longstanding. But, yeah, you need accountability. You need it to be a major priority. You need agencies to feel that it's unacceptable to have this level of payment errors in their programs. You know, it helps, you know, the frustration that citizens feel, the frustration from Congress and GAO and other stakeholders. All of that is a necessary part of putting in an accountability framework to make sure that people and in federal agencies in particular are caring about this problem and are being solution oriented. And so you're right, it's accountability, but it's also innovation. I mean, this problem is not new. It's been around for a while. You know, it's been around in Medicare for years. It's Medicaid. It's the Social Security programs. It's food stamps. It's other programs like that, which are starting, we believe, to find the seeds of some very innovative solutions, whether it's data mining, using things that we call forensic auditing or forensic tools to go out and find the errors and root them out. There's a lot of exciting innovations available now, and it's our job at OMB to make sure that agencies are learning about these innovations, investigating them, and they're being propagated throughout government.
And final question on data quality in transparent government. I mean, so what are the initiatives happening for data quality in this whole issue of transparency?
Well, there's a really good connection here to improper payments and about our payments generally. We want our payments, we want to know what they are, we want to know how much they were for, we want to know who they went to, and we want to know that they were accurate. Because what we've seen with the Recovery Act and with the advent of USAspending.gov is there's a real high citizen interest in knowing where our money is going. And right now, we don't have, because it's a relatively new program and a new requirement, we don't have all of the quality assurance and all of the internal controls and all the process points in place that we need to make sure that we're tracking this money in terms of where our money is going effectively. And that's what the initiative is about.
Sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. You love this stuff, though, don't you?
I do. If I didn't, I wouldn't last long. You've got to be passionate about this stuff, and it's important. This work is important, and the group we have at OMB and throughout the CFO community, they're all energized by these priorities, and I'm looking forward to tackling it with them.